Good afternoon. I want to thank the Frohlo Financial Group, as always, for sponsoring the Men's Afternoon Kollel, and our sponsor today, Michael Burr, who sponsored the learning this week. Thank you very much for your generosity. A little girl once asked her mother, "How did the human race appear? Where are human beings from? Where did you come from? Where did I come from?" So the mother said, "You know, I came from your grandparents, who came from their parents, and their parents, and their parents, and it goes all the way back to Adam and Chava, to Adam and Eve. They were the first human beings created by God. They were the progenitors of all who have come since then, and we trace ourselves back to them." So the girl said to her mother, "But I don't understand, because I asked Dad the same question. Where do we come from? Where do human beings come from? Where do I come from?" And Dad said that there was a big bang, the world came into being, the animal kingdom was born, monkeys, and monkeys evolved, and after time and over time, monkeys evolved until they became human beings. So, "Mom, which is it? You say it's Adam and Eve, and Dad says we come from monkeys." So the mother looked at a little girl and said, "It's very easy, it's very simple. Dad told you about his side of the family, and I told you about my side of the family." Ba-dum-bum. Okay. So the topic that we're going to study together today is a topic which I think is apropos this time of year. It's the topic of Yiridus Hadoros, what they call in philosophy the doctrine of decline. The notion that the more time goes on and the further away we get from Har Sinai, the pinnacle of human experience, the moment of the greatest revelation, the more that we have declined. Rather than progress, we regress. Rather than advance, we retreat. I just came back from an OU rabbinic retreat. It's a rabbinic retreat. It's a perfect segue. You read the Sadoros. The generations are in retreat. It's not a rabbinic progress. So it's a rabbinic retreat. You read the Sadoros. So this principle, where does it come from? And is it true? And the reason I say it's apropos this time of year is because we're counting down to the seminal moment where we will stand at Har Sinai. We will not recreate standing at Har Sinai. We will not commemorate standing at Har Sinai. We will stand at Har Sinai. Our understanding, the cyclical notion of time, means we will revisit Kabbalah Satorah. We will revisit Matan Torah. We won't commemorate Matan Torah from thousands of years ago, but we will shortly stand together at the base of that mountain, and we will experience divine revelation. And that's the Sefer HaChinuch famously explains why we don't count down towards that event, but we count up. Normally, when you look forward with great anticipation and excitement, you count down. So why don't we start at 49, 48, 47? I'm getting close to my summer vacation, and I promise you, I am counting down towards it. I'm looking forward to it. Could use a break every year, this time of year. So, you know, if you scratch on the wall, you're marking up, you're counting down. You don't count up. So says the Sefer HaChinuch, why do we count up in the period of Sefira? And he explains that counting down is when you're going to liberate, when you're going to free yourself, when you're going to unchain and unburden yourself, when you're looking forward, vacation, finals will be over, school will be over. But when you're looking to make progress, to grow, to transform, when you're aspirational and ambitious, you don't count down towards something, you count up towards it. And every day of Sefira, we count another day, we're supposed to be making progress. We are counting up. And we're counting out, and we're transforming ourselves so that the ones, we who stand at Har Sinai, we look nothing like the ones who came out of Pesach. Or Chaim HaKadosh, others famously explain, Korban HaOmer is made out of barley, the Shtei Lechem is made out of wheat, barley is Meichel Behema, is the food of animals, wheat is Meichel Adam, is the food of a human being. We came out of Pesach, we were the lowest level of the Shari HaTumah, we were corrupt and morally depraved, and confused, and incompetent, and we count 49 days, 7 weeks. Seven is not a coincidental number. Like the Kala counts seven, the Yeshiva Nekiyim, to stand under the chuppah, we count seven. Not 7 days, we need longer. 7 weeks till we stand under the chuppah with the Ribbono Shel Olam. So I share all this with you, because you're in the midst of doing it. We're in the midst of doing this. We're doing this together. You understand what I'm saying? We're counting up. Every day we are progressing, we're getting closer, and our goal is to stand at the base of that mountain together. So which is it? Are we counting up to get back to Har Sinai? Are we making progress in our lives? Are we transforming? Or every day are we actually going backwards? Is there regress? Are we further from where we came from? There's a famous story of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, who was once on an airplane sitting next to some famous professor of Ichves. Famous professor, I don't even know if it's an apocryphal story, true story, so he's a professor of whatever you want it to be. And Rav Yaakov's grandson was on the flight with him. He was sitting further back. And the grandson kept coming up and checking on him, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. Zayda, can I get you water? Zayda, do you need anything? Zayda, do you need something from the overhead compartment? Zayda, do you have to go to the bath? Zayda, what do you need? And finally, this professor turns to Rav Yaakov and says, I don't understand. You're an accomplished rabbi. I'm an accomplished scholar, an academic. Why is it that your grandchildren, they wait on you hand and foot, and my grandchildren, if I get them to call me once a year, I'm lucky? So Rav Yaakov purportedly turned to him and said, because you have to understand, where I come from, Har Sinai was the pinnacle. Revelation. Kadosh Baruch Hu appeared, he spoke directly to us, he gave us the sacred Torah with its timeless teachings and its formula for life. The further we get from Har Sinai, the greater one has regressed. The further one is from that moment of the ultimate experience. So for my grandchildren, I'm two steps closer to Har Sinai. So they show me honor. You teach your grandchildren that you come from monkeys and apes. The further you get from being monkeys and apes, the more that you have progressed, the more sophisticated, the more advanced you've become. Why should they show you honor? You should show them honor. They're less like a monkey, you're more like a monkey. And that's what Rav Yaakov purportedly explained. So this is our topic. In this period of Matan Torah, of Har Sinai, is the best behind us, or is the best yet to come? Are we counting up, or are we counting down? Are we pathetic and lowly, or do we have the opportunity and the aspiration for greatness? For greatness. Now this expression, these terms, Yeridus Hadoros or Neskatnu Hadoros, two expressions with both mean the same thing, the doctrine of decline, the idea that the further we go, the worse we become, or the less competent, the less lofty we are. These expressions, Yeridus Hadoros and Neskatnu Hadoros, anyone know where they appear in Shas? Mamish, you guys are Shas Yidden. You're right, it doesn't appear anywhere in Shas. You're 100% correct. These expressions do not appear in Shas. They do not come from Chazal. They come since then. In fact, and this is exactly what we're going to examine together, is we have allusions in the opposite direction. The Ramban provides a list of Amoraim who disagree with Tanaim. And we don't say the Amoraim are less competent or they're inferior to Tanaim. They're not entitled to disagree. The Ramban provides a list where Amoraim had the confidence to disagree with Tanaim. The Beis Yosef says, we can disagree, but it was accepted not to. Says they can disagree, but they accepted not to. So which is it? Do we have to yield to earlier authority with the concession and the submission that we are inferior to those who became before? Or can we proudly and with confidence say that we have made progress? In fact, we have Otzar HaChochma with 180,000, 300,000 Svarim on a little hard drive. We have HebrewBooks.org and Bar Ilan CD-ROM. We have infinite Svarim and search capacity. We who understand medicine and technology and progress, how could you argue we've regressed? Morally, you could argue we've regressed. You just have to open the window or turn on the news. Morally, I understand the argument we've regressed. But in terms of our seeking knowledge and understanding and seeing Hashem in this world and understanding and analyzing, it's hard to make that argument. That's our topic. So the first source, it's an old source from 8 years ago, are shrinking brains making us smarter? Human brains have shrunk over the past 30,000 years, puzzling scientists who argue it's not a sign we're growing dumber, but that evolution is making the key motor leaner and more efficient. The average size of modern humans has decreased about 10% during that period, the size of a tennis ball. Women's brains, which are smaller on average than those of men, that's not me, that's this news article, have experienced an equivalent drop in size. These measurements were taken using skulls found in Europe, Middle East, and Asia. And it's a whole article that brains are smaller, but maybe they're just more efficient, which would explain women have a smaller brain, but it's working overdrive, it's more efficient, it's more powerful. It's got a more powerful engine. So, are shrinking brains making us smarter? There was a book in 2008, Nicholas Carr. He wrote a series of articles in The Atlantic. He wrote, is Google making us stupid? He later transformed it into a book. Right? How many people here have the capacity to remember a phone number? Because we haven't had to. They're all pre-programmed into a phone. How many people here can open a map and figure out how to get from point A to point B? When's the last time you had to? So we take directions from a voice that tells us when to turn, where to turn, how fast to go, how many feet till we get there. So the thesis of these articles was the more we're advancing technologically, the more we're regressing. In fact, it's making us stupider. Our memory is not as proficient and our capacity to interact with the world is not as good. That's the argument of the book, and that's our subject. So I want to tell you in advance, we're going to see several sources together. There are many articles if you want to read more about this. Professor Schneer Lyman has an article in Tradition, and Hillel Levine has a fantastic article in the Journal of Jewish Social Studies. Dr. Lem in his book has a lot. Alan Nadler has an article, The Gaon of Vilna and the Rabbinic Doctrine of Historical Decline. There are a lot of articles. I did not discover the wheel. I've simply recreated it from those who worked hard before me. That's how we progress, that we don't have to do the same work. We just work off of the people of others. So Kohelet, source number one. The Pasuk in Kohelet says the following. Al tomar mehaya shayam marishonim ayitovim me'ila, ki lo mechoch mashalta alzeh. Don't say, how is it that the old days were better than these? Don't say, I don't understand. In a simpler time, when we had less, and we understood less, it seemed like it was so much more. Says Kohelet Shlomo HaMelech, the wisest of all men, don't say that. Don't say that. And why shouldn't you say that? Ki lo mechoch mashalta alzeh. Don't say that. Now, why shouldn't you say that? So Rashi here comments, "Al titama al tova shaisa ba la tzadikim arishonim kedor amidbar v'dor she Yeshua v'dor shel David." Don't say about the earlier days. There was revelation, and they were more brilliant, and they were more accomplished, and they were more achieved. How has it happened that former times were better than these? It's not wise to ask that. Lo mechach mashalta, says Rashi. Why? Shakol v'ischus hadoros, says Rashi, because everything is based on the merit of the generation. It's not possible for later generations to be like earlier generations. Rashi seems to subscribe, hook, line, and sinker, to the doctrine of Yeridus Hadoros. Don't ask it, because it's a klutz kasha. It's a stupid question. The earlier times, of course, were greater, and the further out we get from them, the less competent and the less great that we are. Rashi seems to subscribe entirely to this notion. Rav Elchanan also says this about the Chavetz Chaim in source number 2, in a sefer called the Chavetz Chaim volume 1. It says, Talmido agadol Rav Elchanan v'asam and shalu pam, heyos yodosh Rav Chaim v'lozhin ba'aricho pam es rabbo hagon mi'vilna heyir sha'achron yitachain v'agadol ka'aramban. Rav Chaim v'lozhin once commented about his Rebbe, the Vilna Gaon, that even though he was an Achron and the Ramban was a Rishon, that the Gaon was greater than a Gadol Karamban. He was as great as the Ramban. Let's not say greater. Shechai Shesh Me'oshan Alafanov, who lived 600 years earlier. Mishema Ifa Zekuka Isa Ashkocha La'avad L'doro Ruach Ko Gidola Shlefik Dulaso Shayachas Haisa L'doros Korab Lafanov V'alo Klam Masor Biyadeinu Fiyat Talmud Dor Dor V'dor Shav Dor Dor V'shoftov Dor Dor V'chochmav U'parnas L'fiyat Dor. Every generation gets who they deserve, and if each generation is regressing, then its leadership should regress too. How is it that a generation got a Gaon of Vilna? The Gaon is, they say the Gaon is like a throwback to the period of the Tanaim in his brilliance. So the Chavetz Chaim answered Rabbi Chanan about this. Hey, Shiva, Zeh, Chavetz Chaim, Uvdehi, ki mebechina Yehudis ruchnis hadoros hochem v'goshem b'midron har, b'katzav mahir. The truth is that we are on a steep slope downward. And as the generations progress, we are rolling downhill. And you know, the more you go downhill, the more gravity pulls you, the faster you go down. And the further out we get from the top of that hill, the faster we are going downhill, the faster we are regressing. And he explained why the Vilna Gaon was an exception to that rule. But the point is, Rav Elchanan is invoking the Chavetz Chaim, who invoked that rule, Yeridus Hadoros, or the notion that we are declining. Rashi says this also in Rosh Hashanah. Rashi says, Al tamar emaya shayam rishonam yitov me'ila. When the Gemara there quoting the pasuk in Koheles, kilom lechachma shaltas alafish adoros yitov mitzadikim in achronim. Ficha chayu yamim rishonam yitov me'ila. Sheyev shayu achronim k'rishonim. It's never going to be as good as the old days. You know that Jewish notion that we always say we miss the good old days. We tell our children about the good old days. We celebrate often with revisionist history the Alter Haim and how great it was. That's not just a Jewish cultural concept. It's steeped in a pasuk in Koheles. It's steeped in Rashi. It's steeped in Chazal. This notion that you read this Hadoros. Listen to the words of Rashi carefully. Hadoros hayutovim v'tzadikim in achronim. L'ficha yom rishonim tovim me'ila shiyev shayu achronim k'rishonim. They were more righteous. They were on a higher level. They were more proficient. They were more worthy. And the more time has progressed, the less worthy we have become. So what I analyze with you is several sources here that seem to go in both directions. Are we in fact progressing or are we in fact regressing? And then share with you, I didn't discover it, in the articles I mentioned all quote, two comments, two fascinating passages that quote from a non-Jewish source. They use a principle from a non-Jewish source to offer a very beautiful perspective of how we can reconcile. Are we progressing or are we regressing? And really be able to understand our times. Because we are living in a generation where we're on super speed in the progress that we're making. Right? In antiquity and through the early modern era and until recently, major discoveries were made infrequently. Transformational discoveries or innovation was infrequent. In our time, it's every day. It's several times a day. We discover something new about the solar system, about science and medicine, about technology, our ability to manipulate and control the world. So how do you reconcile this notion that we've gone backwards when you look around technologically a world? Some of you might have come in your Tesla and you were shaving and answering text messages while your autopilot car that doesn't take gas drove you here, that you can summon on your cell phone to pick you up when the shear is done so you don't have to go out in the rain. And then you're going to tell me about, you read this Hadoros? You read this Hadoros? They had to go on a camel or a horse to travel. It took weeks or months. You risked your life. And today on the app, on the phone, you summon the car to pick you up that you don't have to pay attention to while it goes and it doesn't take it. And you're going to talk about, you read this Hadoros? How do we reconcile? How do we reconcile these things? Gemara and Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yud Beis. Good. So what does you read this Hadoros? You read this Hadoros, does that mean maybe technologically we've advanced, but in terms of our moral character?
They weren't talking technology. They were talking about the Midas and
So we could all agree, I shouldn't say we could all agree. I believe in my lifetime I've witnessed and maybe experienced a moral decline. In America, in the Western world, there's a moral decline. Some of the advances we've made, we feel we are morally in decline. While technologically, we are advancing. The question is, what about intellectually? Because that's really the question when you read this Hadoros. Intellectually and spiritually, can a Yid today who has the benefit, a Jew today who has the benefit of walking into the Beis Medrash and having a wall that has Shas, Bavli, Yerushalmi, Midrash, Sifra, Sifri, you have Rambam, you have Gantz Rishonim, you have Achronim, you have Chassidus and Pnimiyas HaTorah, you have Kabbalah, you have everything laid out in whatever language you want, and you can learn it and you can live it, and we are inferior? We are positioned worse?
Yeah, it's there, but using it, that's a problem, you know?
So how can we categorically and so sweepingly say, Yeritas Adoros, we have it all, but we're less, we're worse, we're worse. So let's examine, let's take a look. Source number four, the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yud Beis. Amar Abzera Marava Bar Zimona. Im Rishonim B'nei Malachim, if the early ones, if the Tamidei Chachamim of the previous Doros of earlier generations were the sons of angels, Anu B'nei Anashim, then we're simply the sons of people, of men. Im Rishonim B'nei Anashim, if you'd liken the earlier ones to be the sons of men, then Anu Kachamorim, we're just donkeys. V'lo Kachamoro Shar B'chaninim and Dosa Shar Pinchas Ben Yair, and we quickly qualify it, lest you say, I'm happy to be a donkey, the donkey of Rabbi Chanina Mendoza, the donkey of Pinchas Ben Yair, I'll take it any day. Says the Gemara, no. Ela kishar chamorim. You're not such a helaga, you're not such an erlich, a donkey. You're a stam donkey. You're a donkey as in the word we use for donkey, that we don't want to use for donkey. That's what you are, you're nothing better. So if our ancestors were b'nei malachim, were angels, we're just the son of man. If they were the son of man, we're just a pathetic donkey, a brainless donkey. So that strongly seems to imply, you read the Sadoris, the doctrine of decline, that we, as time goes on, and the influences of the world, like going down a steep slope, the more gravity has a pull, the faster you go. So we are quickly disintegrating. We are dissolving spiritually. We've lost something. Gemara in Erevin, Daf Nun Gimel, Source 5. Amar B'yochan, and Tovat Ziporan Shal Yishonim, Mikreso Shal Achron. The fingernail of the early generations was better than the entire abdomen of the later ones. Amar Shlokesh, Adraba, Achronim Adifei. What do you mean? The latter ones are better. Because look at the earlier generations. The Dor HaMidbar, they got to sit and learn Torah, and they were not subservient to any other power or authority. the Dor HaMidbar, once we settled and conquered Eretz Yisrael. So you sat and you learned in Kailal, and even if you were the farmer in the field, what did you worry about? But we who live through Shibud Malchus, we who don't have time to learn, we have to fight Rashida Tlaib and anti-Semites and cartoons. We who are so busy with Shibud Malchus, with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of rockets aimed at our people, and nevertheless, Ka'aske Torah? So clearly the Achron and the later are greater. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Amalei, Bira Tochiach. The presence and absence of the Beis HaMikdash, which is called the Bira, will demonstrate. The Beis HaMikdash was restored, the earlier generations proved to be worthy. But we, clearly the Acharonim, we, the later generations, clearly are not as worthy. If we were as worthy, what would we have? Beis HaMikdash would be here. The absence of the Beis HaMikdash testifies as evidence that we are less worthy. Shalos, Rabbi Lazar, Rishonim Gedolim or Acharonim Gedolim? Sorry, one more second. They asked the Rabbi Lazar, who are greater, the earlier generations or the later? Amalehem, Rabbi Lazar answered, Tenuei Nechem Babir. Look at the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is the defining piece of evidence. And its absence indicts us that we're not better. If we were better, it would be rebuilt. Igadamre, Amalehem, some say Rabbi Lazar said, Eidechem Bira. Your witnesses are the temple. First Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt after a brief exile, 70 years. And here we are, over 2,000 years, and we're still waiting. Or almost 2,000 years, and we're still waiting. So it is testimony. It's bearing witness to our unworthiness. So far, pretty depressing. Yes?
But this seems to focus on spiritual, moral decline.
It doesn't really define, although when it talks about worthiness, what proves worthy? Is it our capacity for high-level Talmud Torah? Is it, we know that Talmidei Rabbi Akiva learned at the highest levels, and 24,000 were wiped out. So maybe the worthiness is the midos, our character, our moral character. Is it our scrupulous and vigilance in observing Torah and mitzvos? What exactly is the driving factor of worthiness that we're using the Beis HaMikdash as the measure or metric, A, and B, or the corollary is, what is Yiridus HaDoros? What is in decline? What's in decline? Our memory? Our health? I mean, our lifespan is longer than it's been in a long time. What's in decline? Our intellect? Our analytic ability? Our moral character? What is it that's in decline? But so far, we've seen two sources. We saw Rashi in two places, but we've seen the Gemara in Shabbos, the Gemara in Erevin, that clearly, explicitly state that we're in decline. Gemara in Yuma Daf Tes, Amud Beis. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yoshia Bariba Bedoro. Rabbi Yoshia, in his generation, Kareb Meir Bedoro. Ma Rabbi Meir Bedoro, lo yachlu chaver v'lamad asov daito. Af Rabbi Yoshia, lo yachlu chaver v'lamad asov daito. Each one in their generation, the colleagues were unable to keep up intellectually, to hold with them in their learning. Om Rabbi Yochanan, libon shel rishonim, kepischo shel ulam. Shel achronim, kepischo shel heichal. The minds of earlier, they were so great. They were so broad, they were so open, they were so vast. It was like the entrance of an enormous hall of the Beis HaMikdash. And the minds of the Achronim, of the later generations, they, Kepischo Shel Heichel, the entrance to the chamber. But Anu, but we, the latest generation, Kimlo Nekev Mechat Tzidakis, we are like the eye of a tiny little needle. A needle you use to sew clothing, you know the eye? That you can't, no matter how many times you lick the thread, you can't get it through that tiny little eye. That's how narrow, that's how small, that's how closed it is. That tiny, narrow, barely discernible, negligible little opening, that's us. They, vast and great and open and broad. The next generation, smaller, but still a covetic opening. And we, the latest generation, a pathetic, tiny little eye of the needle. Rishonim Rabbi Akiva. Achronim Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua, Igdam Rishonim Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua, Achronim Rosh Beribi, Va'anu Kolanechi Nekev Machat Tzidakis, Amar Abaye, Anon Kisichta Beguda Legmara, like forcing a peg into a narrow hole in the wall. That's how hard it is for us to comprehend. We sit the Daf and Bechiris. I got to go over it again, then think it through again, and then make a picture, and then make a thing, and then have a video of it, and then have the chazar of the video of it, and then have a diagram of the video of the diagram of it, and it still doesn't fit into my head. It's still stuck. It's hard to get it in. Hard to squeeze it in. Amarav v'anon ki etzba'atso bikira l'svara, like trying to poke a finger into a lump of wax. Marbashi gets ba'asa bakira l'shichcha, like inserting a fit into a pit. That's how easy it is for us to forget what we learn. It's not in there solidly. It doesn't hold. It's able to disappear. So far it's very derogatory, pejorative towards the later generations, that clearly we look back with nostalgia. And by the way, we know this halachically about the way they debate Tanaim with Amoraim, Amoronim with Savoraim, Gaonim, Rishonim, Achronim. There are lines dividing the generation, who is entitled to debate with whom, and the development of halacha, and that halacha closed after the period of the Beis Yosef. This whole notion of Yoridus HaDoros is not just true as a doctrine or in philosophy, it's put into practice. And we understand where it comes from. While those words, Skatnu HaDoros or Yoridus HaDoros, don't appear in Shas, but certainly in these three passages we've read thus far, certainly we already see that sentiment. Gemara in Barachas, Sur 7. Barachas Lamed Hamed Beis. Says the Gemara, Amarav Barav Chana Barav Yechon Mishum Rav Yehuda Barav Yiloi. Bo Rei Shalok Kedoros Harishon Adoros Haachronim. Doros Harishon Amasu Toros and Kevah Malach Tan Arai. Zuva Zunas Kaima Biyodam. Doros Haachronim Shasam Malach Tan Kevah Saros and Arai. Zuva Zulanas Kaima Biyodam. Earlier generations, they learned stark, and they worked stark, and they were great at Tamid Chachamim, and they were successful farmers and workers. We don't work well, and we don't learn well, and we don't succeed it either. We, the later generations, there's shortcuts. We got the Shabbos elevator, we sell our chametz, and we have the prizbol, and what am I leaving out? We have Sifrei Svarim, we have libraries full of shortcuts, full of harama, the shortcuts that we take in order to be chayev in meiser and tithing your fruit, it has to come in through the entrance of your home. If you take it in through an alternative, non-normative way, then you circumvented the point at which it would become chayev. So the earlier generations, they went out of their way to have the opportunity to do a mitzvah. Pesach Sheni Jews, right? They lived, I want the opportunity to be a mitzvah, I would feel deprived if I were robbed of the opportunity to do a mitzvah. We are Harama Jews. Get out of this, and we get out of the other thing, and we rely on this, and we rely on the other thing. What's interesting about this Gemara here in Brachos is, you see the two parts of this Gemara, one is dealing with Niskatnu Adoros, Yoridus HaDoros, intellectually, and one is dealing with it morally, or in character. The first part is that they were able to learn, they were able to succeed in business, and brilliance, and be able to balance it all, and we were pathetic. And the second part is, they had the merit because they were righteous, they pursued the opportunity for mitzvahs, and we look for the loopholes to get out of them. Source number 8, the Gemara Yevamos. Tanan Osam. Mitzvahs Yibum Kodemus L'mitzvahs Chalitza. Porishon Hashem Miskavnin L'Shem Mitzvah. Achshe Miskavnin L'Shem Mitzvah. Amru Mitzvahs Chalitza Kodemus L'mitzvahs Yibum. The halacha is that if a man dies with no children and has a surviving brother-in-law, there's a zika, there's a bond that is created between his wife and his brother, and they need to realize the bond or sever the bond. The bond is realized through yibum, through marriage, or it's severed through chalitza. Says the Gemara, in order to do yibum, you need something. It has to be l'shma. When he is intimate with his sister-in-law, it has to be l'shem mitzvah yibum. We who are incapable in that moment of intimacy, of assuring or with confidence, knowing it's l'shem mitzvah yibum, we therefore today only do chalitza. This is actually one of Rav Avadya's big innovations. Rav Avadya Zatzal, when he stood up in Eretz Yisrael for the Svardim, when the chief rabbinate of Israel paskin to only do chalitza and not yibum, and he said, yeah, that's the Ashkenazi minag. But we have a Svardi Mesora that's different. And he therefore advocated to return the Atara Lioshna, to return the crown to its former glory. This was one of those areas. But anyway, again, you see here, what is the Gemara conceding? In the earlier generations, they could have kavan l'shma. But today, we're pathetic, we're lowly, morally depraved, morally corrupt, licentious, promiscuous, oisvars. And therefore, all we have left is chalitza, we can't do yibum. A Mishnah in Edyos. A Mishnah in Edyos, source number 9. V'lama maskirin divrei ayacha ben amarubim, ho v'en alacha ala kedivrei amarubim. Why do we quote the opinion of the one in the context of the many when we pass him like the many. In other words, in the development of halacha, the halacha follows the precedent of the earlier generation. In order to change the position of the earlier generation, you have to be gadol b'chachma u'v'minyan. What does that suggest? Can you be greater b'chachma u'v'minyan? It wouldn't suggest that you could be if you couldn't. Okay. Right, why would it say that you need to be if you couldn't be? Source number 10, Gemara in Chulin. He ate a vegetable leaf in Beis Sha'an without taking Meiser. He hit the Rebbe's Beis Sha'an kula al yado. And seeing that he was a matter, all of the fruits and vegetables of Beis Sha'an. Rebbe's brothers and the others of his household gathered in Amrullah. They said, you're holding that you don't have to take Meiser. You are what? Revolutionizing the halacha. You are changing the halacha. What about the precedent that the earlier generations didn't do it that way? Why they leave all these things intact? So Meir's answer was, I'm entitled to revisit and to change the earlier opinion, because part of the process of halacha is leaving an opening. Makom, you've heard that lashon used before, makom lezgader, an opening was left lezgader bo. They left a place to distinguish. Mikan l'tam chacham shomer dvar halacha she'in mezizin oso, or ein maznichin oso. That we don't make him retract it, we accept his testimony. So this Gemara now begins to suggest that what? Maybe it's not Yiridus Adoros. Maybe. Makom hinichu lezgader bo. Maybe. Who says the earlier ones are greater? There is an opening for us to introduce novel opinions. There is the opportunity for us to revisit earlier precedent. We are allowed to be machadish. Yeah.
This isn't an argument against Yiridus Adoros, because they built into the system that under certain circumstances we can...
Maybe, and I don't want to get too lost in this particular source, but the question is, they left it in the system so they're greater. But if they knew that there's an argument to be matir, why were they machmir? In other words, the taina that they had on him was, how could you hold it does not chayiv in maaser? Your ancestors held it was chayiv in maaser. How could you hold it's potter? To which his answer was, essentially, yeah, they're entitled to their opinion. And who says I'm not entitled to mine? They left an opening that I analyzed the same text and I came to a different conclusion about the halacha. So you're right. Did the ancestors know that they might have a descendant who could disagree? Yes. And that's part of their greatness. Maybe that makes them greater. But Lamaisa, in the end of the day, they disagree. They disagree. I think it's Rabbi Wein who observes that among Rashi's greatness, and Rashi has no limits shortage to his greatness, but among the greatness of his greatness is that he was the father of a family who both had unwavering love, loyalty, and respect to him, but also had the self-confidence to disagree with him. You have to understand that if Rashi and his grandson Rabbeinu Tam sat next to each other in shul davening, Rabbeinu Tam was looking over at his Zayda and saying, you've never been mekayim the mitzvah of tefillin in your life. You understand what it means that Rabbeinu Tam put on different tefillin than his grandfather? You understand what that means that Rabbeinu Tam put on different tefillin than his Zayda? And you know what his Zayda said? Beautiful. I encourage you, if you believe the halacha is different, do you think for a moment Rabbeinu Tam, you know, go back to Rav Yaakov's story with the professor, because Rabbeinu Tam thought he had discovered the more correct order of the parshios and more correct tefillin, do you think that he thought he was greater than his Zayda Rashi? So that's the brilliance of our system. This connects to this Gemara. It's the greatness of Rashi. What is Tosfos? The whole Tosfos through Shas is Rashi's descendant saying why he's wrong. That's all Tosos. The Balei HaTosos, Rashi's descendants, are Rashi's sons-in-law, grandchildren, all saying why the Shver or why the Zayda was wrong. Do you think Rashi said, how dare you publish that? How could you say that? What a chutzpah. They were able to preserve and maintain something which is unfortunately very lost today, but they were able to have the confidence of independent thinking, while at the same time the reverence and the submission to those who came before. And that to a certain degree is what the Gemara is describing here. Makam inichol avosav lizgadirbo. Source number 11, the Gemara in Gittin Daf Hey. What time is it? Oh, running out of time. It's time that Rabbi Shuban Levi d'amal l'fisheim b'kiyin l'shma shem barabai aysi gita l'kami that Rabbi Shuban Levi v'amar lai tzricha l'meimah v'fana nechtvai v'fana nechtam olo amar lai lo tzricha lo amar ala b'doros harishon shem b'kiyin l'shma b'doros ha'achronim d'b'kiyin l'shma lo. So do you have to say b'fana nechtvai v'fana nechtam? Earlier generations, they didn't master l'shma. But we have done better. We've learned. We've grown. We've advanced. We've mastered the Shema, and therefore you don't need to say it. So does this Gemara seem to subscribe to Yeridus Adoros? So first we shared several Gemaras that almost explicitly are Yeridus Adoros. And now we saw that if you're Gadol B'Chachma Uv'Minyan, which means that a later generation can be Gadol B'Chachma. And then we saw that Meir says, Makom Hinichu L'Adzgadarbo. And now we see the Gemara saying, we're better. The earlier generations couldn't master the Shema, and we can. Gemara Brachos, Source 12, Chafam and Aleph. Why do the earlier generations merit miracles and we don't have miracles? If you say because earlier generations surpassed us in Torah study, it's not true. From the time of Rabbi Yehuda, all they studied was Nezikin. But they only studied Nezikin. We've mastered all Shas. When Rabbi Yehuda came to Uktzin, Haisha Shekovesh as Yerek Bekadera, Vamrila Zaysan Shekovshan Bitrafein Tahorim, Amar, Havayas Ravishmua Kahazina Hacha, Vaana Kamasnisan Bokhtan Klaesar Masifta. I see here their issue is so obscure, they equal all the penetrating discussions of Ravishmua put together. Vaanan, nowadays we study Uktzin in 13 different versions. We're even superior to the way that Rabbi Yehuda studied Uktzin. So what do you see? We are progressing. Our Torah study, our Torah knowledge, our Torah comprehension, our Torah analysis, the Gemara seems to say, is progress, not regress. And yet, for them, the rain would come immediately, and here we fast and cry out and daven, and our Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't pay attention, we have no rain. Why is that? So the Gemara says, because earlier generations sacrificed themselves to sanctify Hashem's name, and we don't know how to do Mesiras Nefesh for Kiddush Hashem. We needed to all come. Prepackaged salt water, prepackaged 10 pieces of bread, prepackaged pop-up sukkah. We have to have kosher food everywhere we go. There's no Mesiras Nefesh anymore. So true, our learning is greater, but we have no Mesiras Nefesh. That's why they merited miracles and we don't. So on the one hand, again, we can pug in on Dibura. When it comes to moral character, Mesiras Nefesh, a willingness to sacrifice, they were greater. But when it comes to what Torah study, Torah learning intellectually, the Gemara seems to say that we are greater. Okay, so we've set up now the tension. We've shared sources in both directions. On the one hand, regress. Yeridus Adoros. The further we get from our Sinai, the more unworthy, the more pathetic we are. On the other hand, progress. The more we learn, the more that we understand, the more that we achieve, the more that we comprehend, the greater we are. So which is it? Dr. Lam in his book, Torah Umada, has the following. In a conflict between earlier and later, decisive the halacha decides with the later authorities, halacha kibasrai. This is given as one reason for the higher rank universally granted to the Talmud Bavli over the Yerushalmi. The former Talmudists came later in time, obviously knew the latter, and found them waiting, wanting. So why is it halacha kabasrai? If you have a machlokas, and all else is equal, we follow the later opinion. What benefit did the later opinion have that the earlier did not? The later opinion knew the earlier opinion and got to consider it. The earlier opinion didn't have the luxury or the benefit of considering the later opinion. Just as Menachem Alon in his monumental work on Jewish law makes the trenchant point that this legal maxim, halacha kebasrai, establishing halacha in favor of the later authorities, a rule formulated in the post-Talmudic Gaonic period, seems to run counter to the general tendency to defer to the superiority of the early sages. Professor Yisrael Tashma takes exception to Alon's broad use of the principle and prefers to see it in a narrow term. One legal rule among many, this one is meant to decide between conflicting decisions in the Talmud itself, is not intended to enhance the autonomy of later and therefore contemporary courts and judges. It's only the Ashkenazi authorities beginning with the 15th century, Rav Yosef Kolon, the Maharik, and including such distinguished halachists as Rav Yisrael Isserlin, the Trumas Hadeshin, Rav Yaakov Palak, Rav Shlomo Shachna, Rav Moshe Islis, the Ramah, who applied the maxim to post-Talmudic authorities until the end of all generations. The Sephardi world did not go along with this extension of the Gaonic innovation and its extrapolation to post-Talmudic times. The authority of the Achronim, that is the contemporary courts of each generation, derived not from the Halacha Kibasroi, but from the principle that Yiftach Bedoro Kishmul Bedoro. Granted the inferiority of Achronim to Rishonim, the courts of the size of each generation are empowered to decide the Halacha for its own time. According to Tashma, the tradition of judicial intellectual autonomy does indeed have a long and honorable history, one that is spelled out most explicitly. We'll see it in a moment. So here Dr. Lam deals with this question. Halacha kibasrai, do we follow the later generation, the earlier generation? But what right do we have to follow a later generation? Is it because Yiftach Bedoro Kishmul Bedoro, we do the best with what we have? Or is it because indeed the later generation is positioned best to be able to consider the earlier generation and yet come to its own and come to its own conclusion? So this brings us to source 15, which is really the crux of this shir. Rav Yishaya Detrani, Isaiah Detrani, who is he? And where did this come from? This is fascinating. He is known as Hazaken. This is the Shalos Tshuvas Harid, the Piskei Rid. The Piskei Rid is Rav Yishaya Detrani. He lived from 1180 to 1250 in Italy. He's quoted by the Rishonim, such as the Shibole HaLeket. And here he introduces us to this phrase. On the right, you have it in Hebrew. If you skip just above, halfway down, you'll see the sentence that's most meaningful to us. Shamati mechachmei philosophim. Who is this that he's quoting? Who is this that he's quoting? Why is he writing this? He's writing this in his book, in his Sefer. And what is he writing here? He's writing, you may say, look, I live in the 13th century. And who am I living in this 13th century? What right do I have to an opinion? And what right do I have to disagree with the people who came before me? Anyone who writes a book has to make a persuasive argument why they're in a position to write a book. Do they know more? Do they know better? What are they offering that's novel or new? And by what right, with what license do they have to offer an opinion? So he writes, we'll read it in the English for the sake of time. First, I wish to respond to your claim that it was improper for me to argue against the great Reb Yitzchak, Reb Shmuel of Dampir. Heaven forbid that I should do such a thing. It never entered my mind I was arguing against him. I am but a single flea, an ignoramus. Targum Yonasan rendered the phrase in comparison to his students. How much more so when I'm compared to him? But it's my practice to dismiss all opinions that appear to me to be mistaken. Should Yehoshua ben Nun endorse a mistaken position, I would reject it out of hand. I do not hesitate to express my opinion regarding such matters in accordance with the modicum of intelligence allotted to me. I fulfill the pasuk. I will speak your testimonies in the presence of kings without being ashamed. Right, all this you have in the Hebrew on the right. Heaven is witness, however, that even when I felt that my opinion was more persuasive than the opinion of the authorities who preceded me, I was never arrogant, claiming my wisdom has served me well. Instead, I applied to myself the parable of the philosophers. For I heard the following from the philosophers. Who is this philosopher? Where is this statement traced to? Anyone know? This is quoted, this comment, in the name of Sir Isaac Newton. Let's read it, and then I'll tell you what it is. The wisest of the philosophers was asked. I know Newton lived later. I'm going to explain to you. I know. Relax. I went to college. The wisest of the philosophers was asked, we admit that our predecessors were wiser than we. At the same time, we criticize their comments, often rejecting them and claim that the truth rests with us. How is that possible? Anachnu modim sharishonim chachmu v'iskilu yosu mimenu, v'alo anachnu modim sharonu medabram aleim v'sosrum devreim b'harbi mekomos, v'emes itonu, heyech yachon adabar hazeh. How could the truth be with us if we're supposed to submit and defer to them? And what is the answer? The philosopher answered, Hishivam Amar Lahem, he answered them. This is a great answer. Who sees farther? Mitzofel Limerchok. Who sees further? A dwarf or a giant? I think dwarf is not politically correct today. What's the politically correct term? Short person. I'm not saying that sarcastically. I'm not making fun, but for our purposes, we'll still use the way it was translated here. A dwarf. So who sees further, a dwarf or a giant? Surely a giant. His eyes are situated at a higher level than those of a dwarf. But if the dwarf is placed on the shoulders of the giant, who sees farther? Surely the dwarf. For now the eyes of the dwarf are situated at a higher level than those of the giant. So too we are dwarfs standing on the shoulders of giants. That's how he defended his right to disagree. The people who came before me, they were greater, they were smarter, they were more worthy, they had more merits, they were more righteous. They're giants! And I'm nothing but a tiny little dwarf. But you know, when I climb up and stand on their shoulder, I see farther. I have more vision. I see more broadly. And therefore, I'm entitled to describe it and to call it the way I see it. That's how with the Piskei Arid, the Tshuvas Arid, Hazaken, that's how he said it. Where did he get this expression? He, of course, acknowledges, because he has a fidelity to the truth, that this is not his expression, like a dwarf on the shoulder of a giant. Where does he get it from? The reason I mentioned Isaac Newton. Sir Isaac Newton, in 1676, used this comment, like a dwarf on the shoulder of giants. And therefore, most people hear that quote, and if you in fact Google it, you'll find it associated with Newton. But Newton was in 1676. The Rid Hazaken is in the end of the 12th, beginning of the 13th century. Clearly, Newton did not author the comment. So who is the philosopher that he's quoting? It goes back to 12th century French savant Bernard of Chartres, who died in 1126. He was a Christian philosopher and theologian. And it's fascinating for a lot of reasons, not least of which is the Piskei Arid, one of the Rishonim, had no problem being familiar with this statement and quoting it from a fellow member of the clergy, a Christian philosopher and theologian, who died in 1126. That's where the comment comes from. We see also Isaac de Lyon, 16th century, in Italy, source 16, who also similarly quotes this. To those who express amazement at my readiness to disagree with the earlier authorities, I cite the words of the wise physician of Solomon al-Mahdi in 1542 from the treatise Me'asaf l'chol machanos. It is possible for the later authorities to know and comprehend more than the earlier on two accounts. On account of specialization, it's possible for later authority to specialize in one topic, focusing all of his effort and talent on its study, with the result that his comprehension of the topic will supersede that of earlier authorities. Second, on account of the cumulative effect of knowledge, we later authorities, by expending a modicum of effort, comprehend more in less time than the earlier. In their day, the various branches of knowledge were still in their infancy, largely unknown, and required much effort of the past investigator in order to discover the basic principles. We, however, are the beneficiaries of their research. All their discoveries and proofs are laid out before us like a set table. The light of their wisdom provides us with light and serves as our eyes, as explained in Shibboleth Halakha, quoted the Rid Hazaken, who quoted the French savant Bernard of Chartres. So you see that this notion that in fact it's not a contradiction. How do we understand the two Gemaras? We know more, we're capable of the Shema, but we're nothing compared to those who came before. The answer is we need to see ourselves in context. They're giants and we're dwarfs. If we remain trying to stand side by side, if we're trying to compete, they far outshine us. They see infinitely further than us. But we climb on their shoulder when we are loyal to the Mesorah and we defer to the Mesorah and we stand on their shoulders and we submit to them, then we can take all that they contributed to us, use it, and now standing on their shoulders, see even further. There's a book called Sefer HaBris, Source 17, Rav Pinchas Hurwitz, 1765 to 1821. It's a book about natural science and ethics and metaphysics. It was the main source of scientific knowledge for Eastern European Jews in the 19th century. It came from the Sefer HaBris. It was published in 1797. So in the 19th century, this is where Jews knew their science. They didn't go to medical school. Where did Rav Pinchas Hurwitz get this from? Sefer HaBris. He traveled through Poland, Germany, Holland, England, and he took what were the modern understandings of science of the time, and he put it together in the Sefer HaBris. I'm not going to get into vaccinations right now, but historically and contemporaneously, and it will be for all time, halacha defers to the contemporary understanding of science and medicine and tells us that we halachically are obligated to follow it. Anyway, he writes here in his Sefer HaBris, even if at times you will find in this book the questioning of an ancient scholar or elderly master whose small finger is broader than my waist, do not be astonished by this intention how the lowly of people should arise against a prince of princes. He should stand up and go out to battle and do what he desires and no one opposes him. How can the fly attack the lion? For this is the way of the son of a dwarf who rides in the neck of a giant, whose eyes can see to a distance which the giant himself cannot see, though he be taller than the cedars, and so on. And he writes, I understand I am smaller than a dwarf, and the hand that writes this by the grace of the one who sits on high. So the Sefer HaBris, who am I to write this authoritative natural science, ethics, metaphysics? Who am I to disagree with someone who came earlier? I'm a dwarf on the shoulder of giants. Cheshbon HaNefesh, source 18. What is the Cheshbon HaNefesh? A fascinating book. 1749-1826 from Menachem Mendel Lefin. It's a book also of the study of nature leads to piety. And the book takes the following. Ben Franklin wrote a guide to moral bookkeeping. And here in Cheshbon HaNefesh, he took Ben Franklin's guide to moral bookkeeping and he adapted it to a spiritual moral bookkeeping based on Torah. And he too writes, if we should assume that one of the mighty among the ancients could traverse the perfect way in 1 hour, a greater distance than we can pass in 70 years, or for example, that one step of Avraham, our father of blessed memory, was twice as great as that of his student, his students of his students, and their students of their students, it is clear according to this that even if they continue to go for thousands and thousands of years, one after another, as a dwarf on top of a giant, they cannot move a single step from the place where the man who is the mighty of all the giants left them. Right? The cumulative nature of knowledge. There's a cumulative nature of knowledge. The more knowledge we have, the farther we can see, and the better that we can understand. Rav Kook also talks about this in the context of spiritual evolution and spiritual development in Source 19. I'm just looking. I left. You should have it. Do you have it? Let me see your source book for 1 second. No. Behind it, is there one more source?
Yeah.
Okay. So Rav Kook talks about it. We're out of time. I'm just skipping to the last source. You should look at Rav Kook. He describes it very beautifully. And Rav Shlomo Aviner, the Rav of Beit El, the Rosh Shiva Teret Kohanim, was asked the following. Shema Doeg, maybe you'll worry. Ma yeh basof kol hazman nered v'nipol? What will be in the end? We're always falling. We're falling and we're falling farther and we're falling faster. So for this says Rav Aviner two answers. Lefamim HaKadosh Baruch Hu merachim alenu v'lokeach mishu mi'adoras harishonu ma'akiv es hanashama shlo kedei shetivalei bezman yoser me'uchar. Alchein lefamim nodim anakim shebeseder godel shodoras harishonu kemo hagon mi'vilna. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has sympathy for us. So he sometimes takes a soul from an earlier generation and he freezes it. And when does he bring it down into this world? In a later generation when we'll need him. And that was the Gaon of Vilna. And I won't be so presumptuous to offer other suggestions of names, but there are great, great, great leaders and people, great minds and great character, who really are a throwback to earlier generations. Because Baruch Hu waited and brought them down when we would need them. A. B says, Nachon shanachnu misrachakim me'or harishon shamatan Torah, u'kechol shemizraba hamercha ka'or nechlash. It's true, every day we're getting farther away from Har Sinai. And the further we get, the light is dimmer and dimmer. Aval anachnu gam miskarvim la'or ha'achron. But the further we're getting from Har Sinai, the closer we're getting to Mashiach. Kemo b'min ha'rasha ve'emtza min ha'ra'in l'cha'or, lo me'aknisa v'lo me'ha'yitziya, aval kechol shemamshicha miskarvim l'katzeh shol minara. You know, when you're in a tunnel, so when you're smack in the middle of the tunnel, you don't have the benefit of the light of the entrance of the tunnel, and you can't yet perceive the light at the end of the tunnel. But you know, when you've made it past the halfway mark of the tunnel, when you're nearing the end of the tunnel, it's true you're far away from the great light at the entrance of the tunnel. But now you're beginning to perceive and to see and to benefit from the light at the end of the tunnel. So he says, on the one hand, I love the imagery that Rav Aviner is providing. On the one hand, the further we're getting from our Sinai, the further we are from that light. And we see it. We see the decline morally. We see the decline in Mesiris Nefesh. We see the decline in Kavana. We see the decline in moral character. We see the decline in Torah. There's decline. But on the other hand, we're Zocha to be living in a generation of Eschalta de Geula. We can begin to see the light of the end of the tunnel, the light of Mashiach, B'mheira V'yameinu, which gives us confidence. And so, one hand, yes, we are counting from Har Sinai. And on the one hand, true, the further we get from Har Sinai, on the one hand, the farther we are. But on the other hand, the more that we are committed to grow and to make progress, the more we accelerate to the end of the tunnel. The faster we'll get to that great light, which will be greater than any light that came before. Mir Tashem b'mehira v'yaminu.